Let's take our Bibles and look again in Proverbs chapter 4. We get into part of this chapter that is so profound that it will probably take us a few weeks to get through it. Today, I'm going to read from verse 5 down to verse 9, but we're likely not to get much further than verse 5. And the title of this message is Getting Wisdom and Understanding. Now, when verse 5 says get wisdom, it's not speaking of natural wisdom and understanding. It's not just human intellect becoming smarter about the way we live. That's not it. As we've been seeing, wisdom is a personification of Christ. So we read that, get Christ and understanding in Him. In Him is that understanding by which we are taught of Him and taught of God. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. That's a pretty strong word, which means that one would say no to decline. Decline from the words of my mouth. Again, who's speaking here but Christ? So that's what we want to look at, and it's very profound, so we'll probably not get further than verse 5. Let's read on. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. There again, we can read it. Christ is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, get Christ, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Understand in Christ how God can be just and justified. Understand how in Christ there is therefore now no condemnation. So get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. That's an amazing truth when you think about us being honored by honoring Christ. How are we honored? Well, by His work of righteousness that He accomplished and the Father imputed, He's taken us off the dunghill and made us to be kings and priests with Him. Seated in the heavens with Him. Ruling and reigning with Him. And so we honor Him for His work on behalf of such wretched sinners as we are. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Father, as we just read Your word here, it stirs up within us a desire by Your Spirit to know more of Christ, more of Jesus, what I know. And regardless of what we think we have learned, even to this point in our lives, we pray that we would be taught again of Him. We could never, ever learn too much, never, ever glorify Your blessed Son too much. And so in these few moments that You've given us to gather, I do pray for Your blessing. Pray for Your Spirit of grace. Be our teacher. Open our eyes once again to the glories of Your blessed Son, in whose name I pray. Amen. Now this whole portion that I read, 5 to 9, deals with Christ as God's wisdom. Today we're going to consider just the first part of this, how wisdom and understanding is sought and found. Because when you hear, get wisdom, twice it says that, verse 5, and then again down in verse 7. It's the principal thing, and with all thy getting, get. What does that mean? How is that wisdom and understanding to be sought and found? But then secondly, this is what we'll look at next time, how wisdom preserves and keeps. Are we keeping ourselves, or is Christ our wisdom, our keeper? Well, whoever it is that saves us is the one who keeps us. So in that we see for the wisdom of God. There's no part of this that is our part. Every part of it, the glory that goes to Christ. So we'll look at that next time, how Christ, God's wisdom, preserves and keeps. And then the third part down in verse 7 through 9 is how wisdom is to be exalted and honored. What is it to exalt Christ as God's wisdom? Because certainly it says there in verse 8, exalt her. This is not just a head knowledge of getting a hold of some facts just to be able to pass a test. We all know how that was in school. We just wanted to pass the test. So just, I don't care if I understand or not, memorize, and then regurgitate, and okay, done. Here, when it speaks of exalting wisdom, how do you exalt what you don't know? You can't. Don't be surprised when you hear people that feel like they've memorized just enough to pass the test. And when you ask them about their profession, they regurgitate what they've been taught. But they have no clue when it comes down to how Christ was made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, sanctification, redemption. I dare say, if you ask people for a definition of even those terms, they would look at you like a deer in a headlight, and we would, were it not for the Spirit of God being our teacher. So let's, by God's grace, just focus on this one thought here today, about how wisdom and understanding is sought and found. Verse 5 again says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Now, this is all in connection with verse 1, where this is being addressed to the children of Christ. Says, hear ye children the instruction of a father. And you might think, well, that's God the Father giving instruction to those that are his children. And certainly, God the Father and Christ are one. So what one says, the other says. There's no discord between the Father and the Son. But the reason we read this as being Christ being that Father, remember, we looked at that last time out of Isaiah 9, how he's the everlasting Father. He is the Father of those children that his Father gave him from all eternity. And the reason I say that is in verse 3, he identifies himself in Proverbs 4. He said, for I was my father's son. Now, when it says was, it doesn't mean that he ever ceased to be, but was from eternity. You could read it, I am my father's son, have always been. Even before he came in the flesh and revealed himself as God's son, he was his father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Here speaking clearly of when he became a man. You think about Mary being told that she was with child and yet she hadn't known a man. How can these things be? She marveled over these things. And you can imagine as being a mother raising that child. I'm certain that she cared for all of her children, but here was one that God had given her that was tender and only beloved in her sight. Even to the point where the Lord warned her that the day would come there'd be a sword that would pierce through her soul because of her son. Certainly that came to pass as she saw him hanging on that cross and dying on behalf of that people that the Father had given. And remember that our Lord, one of his words to John, who stood there with her, was, behold thy mother. In other words, he was asking John to care for her. Because as far as Christ was concerned, that earthly relationship was finished. He died on that cross. She stood there as much in need of his death on her behalf as anybody, that relationship between her and her son was not her salvation. It wasn't the physical, the fact that he had come forth from her womb. That didn't give her any higher standing over any other sinner. She needed his blood and that righteousness imputed as much as any sinner. And the reality is that the scripture said, blessed art thou among women. It doesn't say above women, among. So she looked to him not only as a son, but as her redeemer, as her savior, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. So this is the context here as we're reading. Who are these then that are his children? And what is the instruction given to them? So if we're one of those that the Father gave to the Son, for whom Christ came and paid the debt, then what we're reading here in verses 5 through 9 is where, by God's grace, we look. How is it that we look upon Christ? The subject here, where it says, get wisdom and get understanding, if you look down in verse 13, it says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. In other words, to be taught of Christ. When we sit here and have our Bibles open and read this word, consider whose word it is. This is Christ the Word. And we can read a lot of scripture and even read through the Proverbs as we're doing, but unless we get Christ, unless we are instructed of Him, it's just a vanishing vapor. It's here now and gone tomorrow. So, we're exhorted and we're warned. Some of this is exhortation, some is warning, especially when it says there in verse 5, get wisdom, but it says forget it not. We all remember times we sat down with our children. And we looked them in the eye. We wanted to make sure they understood. Are you hearing me? Do not forget this. Anything else you forget is okay, but do not forget this. Again, this is the love, and it says in verse 4, the instruction of the Father for His children. Why does He care for His children? You stop and think. They were given Him of the Father from eternity, chosen out of a mass of fallen humanity for whom Christ came and paid their debt. That's no small thing. And Christ said, of all that the Father's given me, I'll not lose one. We'll see that next time. You see, many times our minds and hearts are not on Christ, most of the time. We are like children. We hear now and then, whoop, it's gone. But thank God, He it is that keeps us. He it is that preserves us. He it is that draws us again and again. So after this exhortation given, we find now this very first word, get wisdom. It's an interesting word in the Hebrew. It's actually the word to buy. I'm going to get something at the store. It's the same as saying I'm going to buy something at the store. You're certainly not going to go steal it. Or if you do, you're in trouble. But understood is buying. And so, here the word get wisdom, in essence means to buy Christ. I know that may sound a little bit odd, because you say, well, Christ is the gift. So what is there to buy? Well, it's speaking metaphorically here, in the sense of one that procures something of importance or value. When you go out to buy something, you're not just going out and spending your money. There's a reason. And there's a reason to get Christ and not to sell it. Buy and sell it not. If you look over in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22. We read here, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So it's not just wandering around and suddenly falling on Christ. By the Spirit of God, we are drawn to Him as if we are drawn to that which is precious. And according to God's counsel, without Him directing, without Him bringing, then we would be as ones just wandering around. But it says there, in the multitude of counselors, they are established. What are the multitude of counselors that we have? We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God. We have those that, as preachers, God's servants, point us to Christ. So imagine the picture of a marketplace. You've heard that there's something of value over here, and now you're seeking out direction. Maybe you've never been there, but these are pointing you to Him. That's the sense here of buying the truth. And I always say that that which is gold and silver, you don't find lying on the surface. The Christ or the Jesus that's being preached today that everybody just picks up and takes along, that's not the Christ here. The idea of getting wisdom. Think of these shows that you see on Discovery Channel where people go looking for a treasure and expend all that's necessary to find it. That's the picture that we have here with regard to Christ. And so the reiteration of this word here, get, as we see it, get wisdom and get understanding. Think in terms of a merchant walking through a marketplace and who's crying out and telling people what it is that he is selling. That's what wisdom does. Wisdom cries out. We saw that in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. Wisdom crieth out. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse and the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? I believe that what's pictured there and described there is the gospel call. And it's not a mere invitation. People say, well, Christ is inviting you. I liken that to a person, if anybody's been in sales, someone comes up with a quiet voice and says, you know, I'm trying to sell this product, but you're probably not interested, but if you really would, at least think about it. And maybe it could help you out. That's not the sense here of get wisdom. It's get wisdom. I don't want to liken it to trivialize it in any way, but if you ever been to a baseball game, that person is selling the popcorn and selling the drink or whatever. He's yelling out. You hear his voice above the crowd. And who is it that's going to respond? It's going to be people that hear. It's not everybody. If it was everybody, he'd just have to stand there and it'd be coming over. Just the invitation's here. Come on. But not, no, it's ho to everyone that thirsts. So it's the Lord that makes thirsty and gives the ear to hear. And it's through the proclamation of Christ in the Word. So there's an urgency to this. Because as is clear, without Christ as that wisdom, without that understanding that the Spirit of grace gives of Him, of how God can be just and justifying Him, we perish. Think of a burning building. You just walk by and say to the tenants, hey, you realize that the building's on fire? No, you are running in and you're knocking on those doors. Get out, get out, get out. Get wisdom. I want us to see here just the emphasis of what is here in verse 5, because we read this so quickly and we move on like, oh. But think of the Father, even in verse 1, Christ being the Father of these children, and that not one can perish that the Father has given. How does He call them out? How does He draw them to Himself? But through this gospel call. Hear, ye children. Get wisdom. Get understanding. that catches the ear of those that the Lord is pleased to save. So think of the importunity here of Christ as the Father compared to the value. They always say if you want to get people to buy, there has to be value in the product. What's the value here? Well, the value is in who Christ is. And eternal life in Him and justification before God in Him. This is not something that you just sit down with somebody and say, well, here's the three steps to heaven. And if you can just believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and do you believe that you're a sinner? If you could just say, yeah, I'm a sinner. And then are you ready, ABC, are you ready now to confess Him and own Him so that if you say this prayer after me, you can be secure of heaven as your own name? That's not what this is talking about. When you think of the term, get wisdom, you stop and consider Christ, the wisdom of God. Can you ever, ever plummet the depths of who He is and why He came, what He accomplished, and where He is now? I'll tell you, if you're one of these saved sinners, that the Spirit is so God, you can never have enough. First thing I did when I got up this morning was get a glass of water. I was thirsty. You know what? That's a sign of life. And I know where to go get it. I want a nice cold glass, so I get that jug out of the refrigerator and pour it into that glass and drink it back. I'm thankful for thirst. Why? Because that's a sign of life. Same with appetite. Doesn't matter what I ate yesterday, I'm going to be hungry today. And so this is the way that wisdom calls out. This is the way the gospel is set forth. It's not an invitation. It's a command. Every one of these is a command. Hear ye, children. Verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Verse 6. Forsake her not. These are commands. Now who hears these commands? It's those children that the Father has given to His Son. We were in a crowd on 4th of July. We were there in Jefferson, Texas, and there were a bunch of kids milling about, going about. And my son was there with our grandson. We had both sons there with a grandson, but the one grandson was just kind of running all over. And there were a lot of other parents and kids around, but he had a special way to get his attention. It's kind of like the way I raised my children. I have a special whistle. My one son decided he likes that enough to use it on his son. And so when his son got a little too far away, he'd use that whistle. Now there were a bunch of other children around, and they stopped and looked a little bit and then went on their way. You know, the one son that didn't keep going when he heard that whistle, it was that grandson. It was his son. He knew that was his call. And I think about this. Many will hear this command to get wisdom. Many will hear the command to get understanding, and they might perk up their physical ears for a little bit and think, oh, that's not talking about me. And on they go. But I'll tell you what, if you're one of these that has been given to Christ and for whom He has paid the debt, when you hear this command, it's the Spirit of God that brings it home to the heart, because we're just like children. We're not paying attention going through, but the Lord brings us to hear again and again to get understanding. And to know that we need Him. If you look over in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, how do you get wisdom and understanding? How is it to be sought and found? Well, the answer is that we don't do the seeking. It's the Lord that does the seeking. He does the drawing. He does the finding. He's the great shepherd. Over here in Matthew chapter 11, you see this, because there were many in even Christ's day. Some people puzzle a little bit about the fact that here's Christ in the flesh, God in the flesh, going about preaching the gospel, and the assumption is, well, everybody would just follow Him. But guess what? The reason they didn't was because He didn't come for everybody. But you can read through the Gospels and find out that everyone he came to seek and to save, he found them. That's the Spirit's work to do. So how do you get wisdom? It's by the Spirit of God. We wouldn't even know how to look for wisdom were it not the Spirit of God putting within us the Spirit of Christ that causes us to seek. You could write on a great big billboard, "Get wisdom," and people would drive right on by. Just like they do with our sign out here. It's nothing but Scripture out there pointing sinners to Christ. There's Christ in every Scripture. I can't tell you how many people go by here every day, go over there and walk across on the track, and they see that and go on their way. But every once in a while, the Lord causes a sheep to look and to hear and to read and to cause it to enter into their heart. Same thing here in Matthew chapter 11. Our Lord, in the face of much unbelief, as described up to verse 24, those cities that considered themselves, as verse 23 says, exalted unto heaven. These were Jewish cities that considered themselves to be already God's children. And yet, Christ says, shall be brought down to hell. What a surprise in the day of judgment to find that many, many, many of those that are cast out will have been religious Sunday go-to-meeting people. He said, well, what's the problem? Well, the problem is they've never seen their need. They've never had that thirst, that hunger for Christ and Christ alone, because left to themselves, they never will. A dead person does not thirst. A dead person does not hunger. Once they're dead, appetite's gone. No more need even for water. They're dead. We're born into this world dead in our minds and hearts and separated from the life of God. And unless by God's Spirit He intervenes and gives us life so that now we thirst and we hunger, then we would die as we've lived. Here, our Lord says in verse 25, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Notice, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. That's the self-wise. That's the self-prudent. So when they hear the command, get wisdom, they go, I got it. I don't need wisdom. I know already, I'm sure of heaven is my own name. And notice the word hid there. See, get wisdom. The sense is you're coming to what is not apparent or lying on the surface. It's hidden. But how are you going to find it? It's by the Spirit of God giving you eyes to see. But notice our Lord thanks His Father in heaven for having hid these things from the wise and prudent. Some read that and think, well, that's not fair. Well, if you think that you can attain this wisdom of yourself, have at it. Most people, that's what they want. Well, I don't want God doing the choosing. Let me do the choosing. Okay, have at it. I'll guarantee you, give an attorney, you'll never find this wisdom. Man will always think that it's by something he does that he attains unto this wisdom. It's not. It's by revelation, because verse 25 at the end says, and has revealed them unto babes. We're talking about babes in arms. These are ones that have no knowledge. They have no understanding. Does not that describe any one of us? And therefore, we must be taught, receive instruction, taught by the Spirit of who is Christ. How you can be God and justify a wretched sinner such as we are. That's the age-old question. It says in verse 26, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. While men cavil at this, and they argue against it, and they try to work around how it is that God is pleased to reveal Christ to sinners, Christ is thanking his Father that he's made a separation. Christ did not come to try to make sheep of goats. He knew those that were his. Just like if you're a father of children, you know who your children are. You can go out right now and search on the internet a name that it might have the same first name, middle initial, and last name as you do. But then when you get reading about it, well, that's not me. You know, God knows those that are his. He knows everyone. If he's named the stars in heaven, he knows everyone for whom Christ came and paid the debt. And the rest left to themselves, as people say, leave me alone. I don't want to hear about God doing the choosing. Okay. That's what you think is the way forward, then there's a severe judgment that awaits. It awaits nothing but the just condemnation of God for such. I don't know about you, but I don't want God leaving me alone. I'm thankful that that good work that he has begun in me, he will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. And he says here in verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. You're not going to get it. God, other than through his Son. And notice, he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So how's wisdom and understanding to be sought and found? He to whom the Son will reveal him. Period. That's it. People act like it was the Savior that was lost. They say, well, I found Jesus. Really? I didn't know he was lost. No, it's not us finding him. It's him having found us and brought us to the fold. That's why he says there. He said, well, how would they be recognized? Well, here it is, the command in verse 28. It's just like we have here. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Christ said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. The sheep's ears perk up at the voice of the Savior, just like my grandson's ears perked up at that whistle of his father. He knew that was directed to him and it stopped him and turned him around. See? Come unto me. How important is that? When scripture says here, get wisdom. It's not an intellectual getting. It is getting Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Someone said, well, why would I come to Christ? Well, if you're asking that, then you obviously have not been brought low yet by the Spirit of God. Because I'll tell you this, when there's no hope, and no way back, that's what it is to be lost, then you're thankful for one that calls you and brings you to himself. You've been following in the news about this soccer team, these kids that have been lost up in this cave, no way out. And they have been working and working and working on a way to get them out because these are kids that don't know how to swim. Even experienced divers, one perished for lack of oxygen, setting up little relay places for these to come out. These are not getting out on their own. It takes one with experience to bring them out. And the same here, we're not getting to Christ or to God on our own. Come unto me with the command, he comes unto me. And he brings me. All ye that labor heavy laden, said, I'll give you rest. I remember one time years ago when I just about drowned and was in the river with my dad. He was trying to help two other boys. We'd gone off the deep end. And I was down underneath. I didn't know how to swim at that time. I just kept putting my finger up hoping someone could see it. And the next thing you know, my dad grabbed my arms and pulled me up. And I just hugged him, gasping for breath. And he kept telling me, relax. I've got you. Relax, I got you. It wasn't me holding him. It was him holding me. That's what Christ says. I will give you rest. You can't find rest like this rest. I'll tell you, if you're looking within, there's no rest. If you're comparing yourself with the law, there's no rest. All it can do is condemn. But for Christ to have finished the work and for Christ to say, I've got you. To get wisdom and get understanding, it comes with that is the rest. When we've got wisdom, when we've got Christ, it's really, he's got us. He gives that understanding. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest where unto your souls. So this is the instruction when he says, learn of me. It's not just learning facts or certain points about Christ. No, it's learning of him and finding that rest in him. So again, the view here is of one going through the marketplace and crying out, saying, get wisdom, get Christ, get understanding. Forget it not. I'll tell you, if the Lord ever teaches you, you can't forget. Because he continues by his Spirit of grace to remind us. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Those that decline from the words of his mouth are the reprobates. They're the ones that look at it, might even for a while think, okay, yeah, it's important. But this isn't something you sit down, let me go home and think about it. Let me evaluate and let me come back with my decision. No. The urgency here of getting wisdom is get it now. Get understanding now. Decline not from the words of my mouth. If a person ever declines from the words of Christ's mouth, they're in trouble. And that's why when we read these scriptures, we read them with that desire to learn of him again and again and again. Not just once. Be able to say, I got it, but continually. One other portion of scripture that I'd have you look at is over here in Isaiah chapter 55. The whole time I've been speaking here, this has been in my mind. Isaiah 55. Here's the picture here of that marketplace. Free grace. It says here, ho, everyone that thirsts. It says, ho, it's not an invitation. This is a command. It's like we're seeing here. Get wisdom. Come ye to the waters. That's an interesting, it's in plural. We know Christ is the water of life. But the picture is of a community that the only way that they ever found food was when the ships came in laden with the food. And when the announcement went out, the ships coming in, the whole community ran down to the waters. Because that was their sustenance. That was their life. If they didn't get that food, they would perish. So that's the picture here. But notice, he that hath no money. The whole view there without money, that describes who we are outside of Christ. We have nothing. Should my tears forever flow? Those could not in any way contribute to myself. I have nothing to offer. But the gospel call is, come ye, and there it is, buy and eat. It's buy in the figurative sense. Be as one that I must get wisdom. I must get understanding. I must get Christ. We come buy and eat. We come and buy wine and milk. It's even wine and milk are a picture of Christ. Think about wine. That good old wine. Christ is from old. Ages. And wine has as its purpose to revive and to strengthen, to refresh. It's not like you think of wine, people going out and getting drunk. It was to revive and refresh the spirit. Picture of Christ's blood. The wine represents his blood that he shed on behalf of his people. And milk, the whiteness of the mouth, the purity, the sweetness. These all depict the Lord Jesus Christ. It says there, buy wine, buy milk. By Christ, but how? Without money and without price. He's worth more than thousands of gold and silver that you could ever pursue. But to have him is to have him without us providing the money, without us giving the price. He's the one that laid down his life, that such as we might be saved. So get wisdom, get understanding, get Christ. That by Spirit of His grace. All right, we'll leave it there for now. Lord willing, pick up next time with verse 6, how wisdom preserves and keeps us.